The U.S. administration is carrying out plans to eliminate or transfer Centers for Disease Control and Prevention programs that it deems unnecessary, duplicative, or politicized. These moves could eliminate decades of health progress and could increase healthcare costs in the United States. I'm Stephen Morrissey, managing editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, and I'm talking with Tom Frieden, president and chief executive officer of Resolve to Save Lives and former director of the CDC. Dr. Frieden has written a perspective article about threats to the CDC under the Trump administration. Dr. Frieden, amid the administration's cuts to federal programs, you write that the CDC is a particular risk because its role is poorly understood and often misrepresented. So broadly, what are the mission and the role of the CDC?
Fundamentally, CDC exists to protect Americans from threats, whether those threats are natural or man-made, whether they are infectious or otherwise, whether they arise in this country or anywhere in the world. And unfortunately, the CDC and its ability to support clinicians, communities, organizations, and the country is under assault.
So, in fact, what changes to the CDC has the administration either implemented or proposed implementing?
A lot of damage has already been done. Thousands of staff have left CDC, taking with them massive amounts of experience in diseases ranging from rare infectious diseases to communicable diseases to birth defects to other problems. Cuts have been made or proposed to the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. And of enormous concern, the entire tobacco control program of the CDC has been eliminated. This is the only program that tracks trends, identifies new harmful tobacco products, supports comprehensive tobacco control programs in communities, and allows adjustments to address the new tactics of the tobacco industry that have gotten new generations of American kids hooked in the past.
What's been the explanation for these cuts?
Explanations have varied from saying that they're duplicative or ineffective or ideologically driven, or that they're going to be subsumed into the new administration for a healthy America. The problem with all of these claims is that there's nothing to back them up. There are no alternatives to many of the things that the CDC does, and lives really are at stake here. When a new disease emerges, it's often unclear whether it's infectious, as Legionnaire's disease is, toxin-mediated, like toxic shock syndrome, or chemical, like contaminants in vaped tobacco products. All three of these emerging problems were identified by CDC, and they're not all infectious. The risks to the country are really enormous. The things that CDC has given this country include things like fortification of flour with folic acid, removal of lead from gasoline. These have resulted in literally millions of healthier lives, and millions of lives are now at greater risk.
What effects have those changes to CDC programs and funding had so far, and what implications do you see for the future?
Well, already we've seen something that I think probably is the first time this has happened in CDC's nearly 80-year history, that a state, in this case Wisconsin, requested epidemiologic assistance, in this case to address an increase in lead poisoning, and CDC had to answer, we can't. We don't have any staff left in that program. CDC exists to support state and local health departments, to support clinicians, to provide evidence-based information to the public. All three of those fundamental functions are at risk. With the massive cuts and layoffs and staff reductions that we've seen, the ability to support state and local health departments and clinicians is at risk. With a politicization of what have been very rigorously done scientific processes, I think it's going to be increasingly difficult for doctors and others to know what to believe if it's on the CDC website. I think one of the most concerning examples of that is the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, or ACIP. ACIP has been for decades a gold standard of well-done analysis and recommendations. I oversaw that process for nearly 8 years. The detail that the scientists go into when making a recommendation is enormous, and all of the deliberations are public. Everything is live streamed. Everything's available on the internet. Complete transparency. And what you saw was a series of inaccurate claims by Secretary Kennedy saying there were massive conflicts of interest. Untrue. What the ACIP had done was to disclose conflicts of interest, of which there were relatively few, and then to make sure that anyone who had a potential conflict of interest recused themselves when that issue was discussed. What we've seen with the ACIP is we could see the failure to recommend vaccines that could be helpful, and that could result in about half of American children losing access to some of the free vaccinations that they currently receive through what's called the Vaccines for Children program. So what we're seeing here is a country being made less safe, information being made less available, and the processes by which decisions that can affect our lives are made are not transparent.
Why isn't it feasible for states, non-governmental organizations, or other federal agencies to take over some of these eliminated programs?
When it comes to something like the ACIP, the level of detail needed, the level of expertise needed to look at really complex issues. What should be the vaccine schedule? What ages of people should get vaccine? Whether you should revaccinate and when? What the different phasing of different pneumococcal vaccines is, for example. Even for a very experienced practicing infectious disease physician, these are really complicated questions. And we've looked to CDC for a rigorous discussion of them, for reasonable recommendations, and for an open book on why they made those recommendations. So if we disagree, we can see what the reasoning was and what we disagree with. We really are at risk of losing that.
You say in your article that the CDC could certainly become more effective. So what steps could be taken to improve the agency and its connection at the local, state, and even international level?
I think there are things that CDC needs to get better at. About two-thirds or more of all of CDC's funding goes to state and local health departments. And yet there's kind of a disconnect between folks in Atlanta and the state and local health departments that have to implement the recommendations that CDC gives. That disconnect can be bridged by having many more staff, junior staff, start out at state and local health departments, understand what the challenges are, what the ground realities are. And then as they continue with their career, if they rotate back to Atlanta, there'll be much more of a sense of reality so that when CDC recommends something, it'll be much more likely that it resonates with state and local entities and can be implemented. CDC can certainly be faster. There was for many years an ethos that if a state or local government requested assistance, someone would be on the plane before the sun set. And that kind of urgency is needed not only in in-person consultations, but also in health communications, in recommendations, in response to concerns. That kind of practical, rapid response can make the CDC more effective. It can make Americans safer and healthier. And with that, I think we can harness the amazing talent, because CDC does have amazing staff still, to build a leaner, faster, and more widely trusted CDC.
Finally, what do you see as the role of the CDC in global health?
CDC is the only U.S. agency that spans both the United States and the global communities, and it plays an enormously important role in identifying threats overseas so that we can be better prepared for them at home, working with country governments around the world to build their capacity so we don't have to fight diseases where they emerge. They can fight them where they emerge. And the things that CDC does best, laboratory surveillance, epidemiology, training epidemiologists, these are essential for progress against problems like HIV, tuberculosis, malaria, polio, and other infectious diseases. Already today, and for the last few years, CDC has provided most of the treatment of patients in PEPFAR, the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. And it can do even more to support global immunization efforts, But this is enormously at risk. The president's budget proposal that would start in October, just a few months from now, would drastically reduce many of the Department of State programs, and it would eliminate the CDC programs in HIV, tuberculosis, immunization, polio eradication, despite the fact that these programs save lives and make Americans safer. So a lot is at stake. CDC isn't a well-understood agency because what it does is broad, and when it succeeds, it's invisible. But if it stops doing what it's been doing for recent years, that failure will be all too visible to doctors and nurses throughout the U.S.
Thank you, Dr. Frieden.